Star Teddy. Go win us. Go undefeated. Just go undefeated. I'm trying to gather. I have so many texts and comments. Colfax, we got a texter from New Jersey. Are you literally listening from New Jersey right now? That's pretty awesome. You listen online, you can listen from anywhere. We need that New Jersey texter to give us a nickname, though, man. I mean, there's got to be some creative stuff from New Jersey. Jersey Bob. Jersey Mike. I mean, it was
Silent Bob.
Silent Bob. Oh, yeah, because New Jersey. Yeah. I was going to say mine aren't that creative. I'm just saying Jersey and then adding a name. That's cool. I love that, man. That's the cool thing about Listen Online or TuneIn app or our podcast. You can hear the whole show wherever you go. You can agree with me 100% wherever you go. Let's read some texts, shall we? Eastside Chris. Brady, the purpose of the game is to win them all. If Locke starts and can't get it done and pulled, suicide prevention should be contacted because he's done here. All right. Okay. Noob says, Zach gets excited. A new drinking game has been invented. Every time Zach Stevens says, Brady, you drink. Zach, I love it. He's animated. He's excited, but I like drinking games. You can get hammered in about 8 minutes, LOL. I think Fangio wants someone else to make the decision on the quarterback, because if they start out 0-3, he can say, see, I told you to go with the other guy and try to save his job. I feel like, just based on Pat Shurmur's comments last week, he was more of a Drew Lock guy, but I don't know. Let's go, Flying Dutchman. I wish the Colorado media would stop focusing on the myths that a great quarterback is needed to win a Super Bowl. Far too many generations have been skewed by the Elway factor. There are many examples of average to above average quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl. Winning football is about minimizing weakness. It's Teddy's time. Drew can sit back and learn and possibly be the quarterback next year. Only a handful can make it in the NFL. Yeah, but I think our underlying theme here is if Drew's not the guy this year, he's not the guy ever. And so they're going to move on and try to find that. That's just where we are. This is year three, folks. Are we going to sign him to an extension? I mean, he's in his third year. He's going to have a contract coming up pretty soon, right? Dixon texting in. It is Top Text Tuesday, by the way. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. With Teddy starting, turns out to be another swing and a miss by Elway. Well, I mean, technically, George, what are you talking about, Dixon? You're not even trying anymore, Dixon. You're just throwing out Elway hate. Left 20 years from now, you're just going to be on the side of the road. Like, someone's going to, or you're going to be driving, someone's going to cut you off, and you're like, Elway's got it. Yeah, Elway again. Elway did it again. This was George Payton's pickup. Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Lock is John Elway's guy. Are you saying that because Teddy's starting over Drew, it's a swing and a miss because Drew failed? There you go. Okay, my brain's getting it, Colfax. All right, so I'm going to be the guy 20 years from now saying Elway's the greatest. He's the best. But it shouldn't be a swing and a miss on Lock. You start him. Colfax, wouldn't you rather know? You know how much people like have the one that got away. Like, that's a saying that's not just for romantical relationships. The one that got away is for all of us sports fans. We all have that one that got away. Look at Shaq Barrett. Who else?
Oh, no, Shaq Barrett's good. I was going to say Josh Allen, but we didn't really have him.
But you could have.
Could have.
You could. Josh Allen was waiting for you to ask him out, and you never asked him out. Shaq Barrett was waiting for you to commit to him. You never committed to him. Here's Justin Fields, who's like, hey, I was kind of there. What do you think? The Broncos have a lot of those, the ones that got away. Could Drew Lock be that? Listen, if you defend Drew, you're a Drew apologist and you think he's the greatest ever. And that's BS. You can say we potentially think he might. Why not stick it out with Drew Lock? Why not stick it out one more year? But this quarterback competition, I said it from the get-go. If it's truly 50-50, and Vic said it at halftime on Saturday, after Bridgewater's performance, he said it at halftime, it's 50-50. He said, I don't know, I think it's pretty even, don't you? He told that to Rod Mackey. If that's the case, you go with the guy with the potential. And people say, well, what does that mean? It means the guy that could potentially be better in 5 years. Teddy's the same Teddy. As for the Flying Dutchman, I get what you're saying, and I actually respect it because I want teams to win the Super Bowl bait without just the quarterback love, because I'm all about defense and run games. I like my perfect team to win the Super Bowl, if I wasn't a Broncos fan, Colfax, would be the Tennessee freaking Titans. I like snot-nosed defense, you know, up, getting at it, popping people in the mouth, hard-nosed coach, and I like a running game. That's just, everybody in this stadium knows Derrick Henry's getting the football on third and two. Don't freaking matter, because our line's going to bulldoze and Derrick Henry's going to bulldoze. That's my ideal team. So I'm with you there, but I'm just looking at the facts. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Tommy Bones. Who won the Super Bowl before that? Patrick Mahomes. Who won the Super Bowl before that? Tommy Bones. All right, Philly, I'll give you that. But before that, who won the Super Bowl before that? Tommy Bones again. Denver, I'll give you that. They won defensively, but they did have the greatest quarterback mind in the history of the game in Peyton Manning. Who won the Super Bowl before that? Tommy Bones. Before that, Russell Wilson. Before that, the list goes on and on. I mean, well, I guess Joe Flacco. But he was. When Joe Flacco won, when Baltimore won it in 2013, Flacco was playing at a pretty high level. I mean, he made bank after that Super Bowl. Year before that, Eli Manning. Was Eli elite at that point? That's debatable. But he's not Teddy Bridgewater. None of those quarterbacks, save for Nick Foles, were in Teddy Bridgewater territory, and that's the past, what, 10 years? So you can say, hey, you can win a Super Bowl with average to above average. I'm going to go above average. And above average doesn't mean you're great. Above average is a B. It's not great. Would you rather get an A or a B, Colfax? Get an A. An A is Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. A B is Joe Flacco in his prime. So the idea that you can win with an average quarterback, I like it. I want it to happen more often. But Flying Dutchman, you're talking about the Elway era. I'm not even going there. This is the Tommy Bones era. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Before those Super Bowls, it was Aaron Rodgers 1-1, Drew Brees 1-1, Ben Roethlisberger 1-1. The theme, Colfax, I'm just going back to 2004. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famers, by the way. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. All right, he's a B. I'm going to give him a B. Ben Roethlisberger again, Hall of Famer. Drew Brees, Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer. Eli Manning, B. Baltimore, Joe Flacco, B minus at the time. He's like a D now. Russell Wilson, Hall of Famer. Tom Brady again. Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer. I'll give you that he wasn't playing at an elite level. Tom Brady, Nick Foles. He's like, how'd this happen? I get that one. I'll give you that one. How'd this happen? Their defense was playing at an elite level. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady again. Colfax, at the end of the day, you still need a really good quarterback for the most part. So, going with Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right, our New Jersey guy's got a nickname, Snooky. Oh, you had it already. Or Jersey Jack for the nick. I like Jersey Jack. That was cool, but you're going with Snooki.
We're going with Snooki.
That was from the show, huh?
Yeah.
Eastside Chris, when fishing, you always remember the one that got away. That's true. That's a good text. I love that text. I love that text. Do you think the game sped up for Fields on Saturday after he got de-cleated? Yeah, and they made their announcement today. That's our big story of the day, by the way. We haven't got to it yet, but the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Andy Dalton is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bears for week one. They made that decision. And listen, do I disagree with that decision? That's a little bit different for me than Justin Fields, who has not played a game yet. But I could also say this. I would have been cool either way on that one, but Andy Dalton's still got something left in the tank. And they want him to learn a little bit. I feel like Drew, the toothpaste is already out of the bottle with Drew Locke. That's how I feel. That's not to say that 5 years from now, 3 years from now, the guy can't turn it around and do a Kurt Warner type thing and revive his career. The odds of that happening are not very good. I mean, look at Kurt Warner. The guy went from bagging groceries to playing, where was he playing? He played in the Arena League. Then he comes to the NFL and he tears it up, and you got the great success. The greatest show on turf. There it is. With the Rams, and he won one there. Then he kind of goes away, and he's like a backup for the Giants. Who else was he with? Then he goes to Arizona, and suddenly, bam, he's back again. He goes to a Super Bowl. So that's even more rare than what Tom Brady's doing, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not Tom Brady. That's more rare than what, like, Aaron Rodgers is doing. Tom Brady's in rarefied air. But going, like, I'm not even an NFL player to, I'm an NFL player, and I'm one of the best in the league. I'm breaking records to, oh, what happened to that Kurt Warner guy? Oh, my gosh, he's back, and he's back to going to Super Bowls. That's pretty rare to do that. So, I mean, you don't get that. We have it. I'll give you something that a lot of fans think we have, that these quarterbacks have, that they're all going to play until they're 40. Drew's in his third year. If you start getting into this, Drew's in the quarterback competition this year in his third year. Next year, he gets traded, and he's a backup fighting for another competition. Well, he loses that maybe. Well, now he's a backup. Now he's another third-string guy. Now he's just floating around, and maybe he does 10 years as a backup quarterback. It quickly gets out of hand because the reputation is there, too. Because you got to build your reputation. And right now, Drew Lock's reputation is that he started off with a bang, and last year was a crap show. Flying Dutchman said, that was a great reply. Have a great rest of your show. I'm off to tee him up. Hey, you know, when give credit where it's due. Listen, and I'm with you. And I know you're golfing right now, but I'm with you. I want this to be the norm. I want there to, but when you look at all these teams, it does tell you in order to win, and I'm not talking about going to the Super Bowl, in order to win, you are going to need a top caliber quarterback. Colfax, how many times do I quote Chris Carter on this show? How many times? Way too many times, probably, right? To the point where you guys all throw up a little bit every time I say it. But he did it when Tim Tebow was with Denver. And was the Tim Tebow show a fun ride? Hell yeah, it was. But you knew it wasn't going to work. Like, it was like, this is really neat. This is awesome. I don't know how it's happening. This is fun, but this isn't sustainable. None of those wins were sustainable. So is he going to win a Super Bowl when great defenses buckle down in the playoffs? No. So what are you doing? You had fun with the ride. Great. You didn't have any other options at the time because Kyle Orton was done. All right. That was what it was. It was a weird year. But they had to do something different after that, whether it was Manning or not, because it wasn't sustainable. Now, when you look at this situation with Teddy, here's what you know. The guy has looked good in the preseason against threes and fours. So has Drew. They both have looked good. Nobody said Drew played badly on Saturday. But Teddy is none of those quarterbacks that I just said. Is Drew? Probably not. But you don't fully know that yet. You know that about Teddy. And I know I sound like a broken record, Colbs, but Teddy Bridgewater played for the Vikings for 3 seasons. He played for the Saints for 2. He played for Carolina. So this is year seven for him. And that's year 7, folks. Don't forget the 2 years in between when he didn't play. He was hurt. He got hurt in 2017. And then, he got hurt in 2016. And he only played for like a minute in 2017. And he was out. So he's in his 7th year, but he's been in the NFL for 9 years. I'm just throwing it out there that, listen, this guy is probably who he's going to be. He's going to throw 15 to 20 touchdowns. He's also going to throw 10 to 15 interceptions. He's probably not going to win you a game. Is this defense that good? Is this defense as good as they were in 2015? Maybe so. Maybe you can win with Teddy. But wouldn't you love to pair a rookie? Again, if it's not Drew, and you go the route of if Drew sucks this year and you go 0-3 out the gates, then you throw Teddy in, and that's probably you're going to float around and maybe you're an 8-win team. Because those are three games that you have to win. And then you're probably not a playoff team. I'm just saying this. I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater is a starting quarterback for this team. He did a great job, an admirable job with the Saints. He kept them above water when Drew Brees was out. So much so where you're like, wow, do they make the change here? Saints were pretty damn good. Teddy was always a guy that I rooted for. Man, that injury sucks because he could have been something special for Minnesota. Maybe. He had his moments with Minnesota. He was never electric. He was never amazing. His rating was like 85 and 88 those 2 years. Then he gets hurt for 2 years. Then he goes to the Saints. He has one good year where he held them and kept them above water. So this whole idea of it's Teddy's time now, hasn't his time passed? Shouldn't it be Drew's? I think it's time to put this thing to bed. And I know, the talk, all of it, put it to bed. Find out if Drew's got it. If he doesn't, we move on and we never have to talk about it again. You go with Teddy to salvage whatever you can out of the season, and then you get in the market. But if they're going with Teddy now, I'm calling the scouts. Guys, you're going to be working some overtime this year because I need to find that next guy. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Carmelo Anthony, more coming out from this up in smoke. Is that what it was? Some kind of podcast that he was on talking about how he never wanted to leave Denver. Now, I'm a Carmelo guy. I love Carmelo. But I'm about to call some BS coming up on the other side. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
This is a pretty good text. It reminds me of, what's the Will Ferrell basketball movie? Hot Tropics?
No. Something like that.
That's what they were the Tropics.
The Tropics. Will Ferrell basketball movie.
Semi-pro. Was it
semi-pro? Yes, that's what it is.
It just reminds me of when Woody Harrelson gets traded for a washing machine. Dixon says, Brady, Teddy was like that last piece of big furniture at the end of your garage sale. Carolina said, I'll pay you to take it just to get it the heck out of my driveway. Seriously, is that where we are? I guess at the end of the day, Drew, and if Drew can't beat him, I guess he can't beat him. But who's assessing this? Is Vic Fangio the right guy to assess this? I mean, the defensive guru, who I heard from several trusted sources that there were several practices in a quarterback competition, he was over there watching the defense, focused on the defense. I mean, if you have a quarterback competition, aren't you on it all the time? Like, that's your number one priority. Noob says, so there's a chance that we know quarterback one for the Broncos at 4, just in time for my first round draft choice at 5:30. We got the draft coming up tonight at the Tilted Barrel, Colfax. And if you didn't register, you didn't get in. I mean, I've had listeners that are like, hey, you know, am I not? Well, you can come out to party for sure. Come out, have a beer. But if you didn't sign up when we were signing people up left and right, you know, you're just not in the mix. And that's just the way it goes. All right. Carmelo Anthony on this podcast, it's very interesting stuff. What is all the smoke? I said up in smoke. That's a movie, isn't it? He had a lot of things to say on this podcast. You know, he talked about what to do. He said, here's a couple of things that I want to get to. And I want to take a break because we're going to talk to Mr. Brohard coming up in about a minute. So I just want to say this. One of the things he said was on the trade out of Denver. Melo said, contrary to what anyone believes, I never wanted to leave Denver. I never told people that. But I never wanted to leave Denver. They put my back against the wall. You go to the Western Conference Finals in 09, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to build on that. You're supposed to add people. They got rid of Dejounte Jones. On that team, Dejounte was a key piece on the team. They're like, we ain't re-signing Chauncey. We're about to trade JR. Kmart's contract was up, and the lockout's coming. So I'm not about to rebuild after we went to the Western Conference Finals. Now, that's the first I've heard of that. I would love to get George Karl's side of that. 30 minutes after the hour, we got Mike Brohar talking CSU with us next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Welcome back to The Whole Show. Keep in mind, we're going to be on location tomorrow at this Coaches Summit. It's a pretty cool deal. It's going to be in Denver at the Blake Street Tavern. And the area coaches, college coaches, I think a few players are coming out. It's going to be a great time. And I believe Mr. Brohard's going to be down there. Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, I always love that event. Didn't get to do it last year. My first time ever. And I think they kind of recharged it. It was 2 years ago. And I just love the opportunity to kind of get all of the Colorado college coaches and a couple of players in the same room.
Yeah, I think it's a neat opportunity, especially to go down and meet in a central location down in Denver, get people together. You'll see coaches talking to each other and things like that. But it gives a chance for the media to kind of meet up with everybody and all in one place. And a couple of years ago, I know like School of Mines was there, and that was great. So it's not just, you know, like CSU and CU and UNC. You know, you get some of the other schools involved. CSU Pueblo, I think, was invited but couldn't make it. I think Wyoming came down. Air Force is obviously there when they can make it. So, it's kind of nice to get, you know, a centralized location to just spend an afternoon talking college football.
Yeah, and I think it's a cool thing, and hopefully, you know, we can continue to build off of it, you know, as far as just bringing more and more excitement around, not just even the football scene, but the college scene in general throughout the state. And I think, again, we have a lot of exciting teams to discuss, not just the football side of it. So many exciting teams in our areas, in our schools, especially going on over at Colorado State.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really, as much as they're anticipating the football season, they really can't wait for the men's basketball season. I know the volleyball team is ready to come back and bounce back from last year and what was kind of a development year in a very weird situation. You know, our soccer team has a new coach, and they're ready to get going again, and they've got their first home match on Thursday. So, yeah, there's a lot of people on campus that are just it's kind of a buzz. It's been neat. I mean, this campus is full again. And that's what a college campus is supposed to look like. And you know, I was hanging out at football practice today and talked to a couple of students as they were walking by, and some were just saying, you know, we're just excited to go to something. They're going to go to soccer. They're going to go to volleyball. They just want that college experience again.
Yeah, well, and like you said, if you get some of these, maybe these students have never been to some of those games, be it CSU, be it anywhere, because we're so starved for action, they go and they're like, wow, this is actually a fantastic time, no matter what that might be. And maybe we're picking up more long-term fans throughout the process. And I know a lot of fans specifically excited about the football side, too, since we're not that far away, about a week and a half out from that first game of the season for Coach Adazio and company. Mike, wanted to get your take from the final scrimmage and kind of get your thoughts, maybe areas of concerns, areas of where you really think this team's going to be strong. But what'd you take away from that scrimmage last week? A couple things that stood out from you.
It was interesting the second week in a row when they did scrimmage, when they were doing running specific type of things, they were just doing thud drills. They weren't taking anybody to the ground. They're not willing to risk any of that stuff. But you can see some development and some gains being made along the offensive line. The backs look deep, look good when they're going through contact and what we can see in practice. So that was nice. It was sloppy, as Steve said. And talking afterwards to a couple of the players, it was like, you know, they get the feeling, you get that point where you've gone 18 so days in camp and you've done nothing but beat on each other. You're ready to do something else. That excitement. You're about 2 weeks out from your game. Camp's going to end. your focus starts to wane a little bit, and they think that's why it was a little sloppy. It's not an excuse, and it's not something they're happy about. But they had to come back out, and they went in full pads the first couple of days this week and really got things kind of more locked in.
Mike, from what you've seen, again, covering CSU, covering the football scene for so many seasons, when you look at this and say, is that pretty normal, though, to just have those kind of scrimmages, those kind of practices, whatever, where it's just like, man, you've been in it for so long. These guys are just ready to go hit somebody else.
Yeah, I've seen it. Some coaches used to do what they called like a mock game, and they would run out there what a pregame would look like. Go out and do pregame drills. Go back in the locker room. Get dressed when you don't get dressed. Coaches up in the head. Every coach does it the same. But, yeah, you get to that point where it's just like you're kind of going – you're ready for something new. You're ready for a game plan. You're ready to – you know, like the CSU offense knows the CSU defense. And sometimes, you know, there's frustration. Like, we know it's coming. Everybody's playing things pretty well. It's hard to tell what gains are being made. Now you get to the point where they've already, you know, they spent Monday, the coaches did, coming up with a game plan for South Dakota State. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're all doing it, and then they're going to do it. They're going to, you know, do the install, and they're going to do it again next week. So they feel like they're going to be really primed for that first game, for the home opener, when fans can finally come back. So I think that's one way where you really kind of get the focus turned around after – 2.5, almost 3 weeks of just knocking heads with each other.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and a RamWire insider. Mike, we knew, at least from our conversations with you and other conversations around the Rams, that Todd Senteo going to be the starting quarterback. But nonetheless, a big blow, especially in the college scene, when you lose your backup quarterback. Matt Valisi, I know that he was kind of wanting to be in that competition role, and it kind of sounded like, according to Adazio, that Toddy had it. But nonetheless, this is disappointing for the Rams, no question about it.
Yeah, the thing was, is you had a starting quarterback coming in Todd Senteo. Matt came in, and he was actually pushing him. He was bringing competition to that room with two guys that at least had experience in the system. Valesi, as you know, played in that system coming from Boston College, save for last year. Anyhow, he was familiar with it. He was able to come in, pick it up, right where he left it off when he was a sophomore, come back, and he could actually challenge for that job. Had he won it yet? No. But he was there, and he was getting more comfortable with the players around him. Now you're back to a point where you have quarterbacks behind Todd who have not taken a college snap. Now, Matt hadn't taken a ton, but at least he had, and he had an experience in the system. You're talking about, you know, two true freshmen, really, that are back there and want to walk on. They're learning the system, and both have just started to learn it since camp started, really August 3rd, and then whatever they picked up in the summertime and that. So there is concern with your backup quarterback just because you have a lack of experience behind Todd.
Now, Mike, this is probably a no-brainer answer, I suppose. Does anything change? Todd runs the ball. Does anything change as far as, all right, we might need to be a little extra careful because of the uncertainty at the backup quarterback position? Or does that even cross the brain? Is it like, no, we got to go with what his strengths are and what we're going to be building around this playbook? Does anything change there with some of the fear at the backup quarterback spot?
I'm sure it's in the back of the minds of both Adazio and Bud Meyer, knowing what's behind Todd and the terms of the lack of experience. So does it change your offense? No, you still have to run your offense. Does it mean you have as many designed quarterback runs? Maybe not. Does Todd still have full reign to go ahead and run and make a play happen when he sees a crease? Yes, he does. Does Todd have to be a little bit more cautious and instead of trying to get maybe an extra 2 or 3 yards and slides? Those things, yeah, definitely. You've got to do that. You've got to take care of him. You can't put him in a bubble. You've still got to play the game of football. There's going to be contact. But, yeah, you do probably – you have some caution in the back of your mind when you're play calling. Do we expose our starting quarterback to this?
Yeah, no question about it. It's just kind of an interesting thing that when you're reading that, you're certainly looking at the situation with the quarterback spot. But nonetheless, Mike, looking around, I know we've been talking a lot about the trenches, about the offensive line, about the defensive line. It just seems like every single week that goes by, every single day that goes by, I don't know about you, Mike, but I just reading your stuff and talking to Rams folks, it feels more and more like these units are going to be pretty damn good when it comes to this conference.
Yeah, they've had some time to work on some things. We saw how good the defensive line was last year, and they've added some depth to it, and they brought back everything. I mean, there are players that could have graduated, and they're back. This should be one of the top defensive lines in the Mountain West, if not the top unit. Then in the offensive line, that's a group that takes some cohesiveness, some getting to know each other, and they didn't get a lot of that time last year. Some of them had to miss time for whatever reason or another, whether it be injury or just protocols. But they didn't get that chance really to kind of put practices together and do that. They did get that in the spring. They've had that opportunity during preseason camp. So, yeah, the expectation is that's going to be a much more unified front, a better front, a front that can generate, you know, as Steve Adazio said, he wants 4 yards per carry at a minimum. And for a guy that likes to run the ball as much as he does, 4 yards at a minimum is not going to make him happy. He's really going to want to see a better power run game, especially a run game that in the 4-minute offense can run the ball and move the chains when the defense knows that they're going to run the ball. That's the style of offense that he's trying to get to. And the offensive line has had a chance to come together and learn a little bit more, get attuned with both what Steve and Louis Adazio have in their systems and kind of produce that unit.
Some big games coming up to start this thing off as far as those non-conference games. But that first one, Mike, I think you and I talked a little bit about it last week, but South Dakota State. I mean, some fans looking at the schedule, maybe not, because we're all kind of we've learned a lot about South Dakota State and just how good they've been at the FCS level. So this is one of those games where those three letters can be very deceiving if you let it. And it doesn't sound like the Rams are viewing that at all that way as far as looking at this team saying, hey, this team could easily come in and pull off kind of an upset. There's some decent FCS teams.
I think college football fans, if they've been paying attention any time in the last 5 years, know these games are always out there. And fans like to think, okay, it's an FCS team. We're supposed to win this game. We should just win this. They mark it down as a W, and that's not the case. I mean, I think people can still remember when North Dakota State came in as defending national champions and beat Colorado State a week after they'd beaten Colorado. So, yes, these games happen. They cannot be trip games. You can't just guarantee them as wins anymore. When you look at a team like South Dakota State, who had an impressive run last spring, played for the national championship, that's not a team Colorado State can afford to overlook. Colorado State doesn't have the resume yet, and Steve Adazio will tell them that you can overlook anybody. You have to go out and prove it. And now considering that you played 4 games last year, you really have like a small sample size for everything you're gauging off. You want to show fans what you can be. You need to be ready to go no matter what the three letters are, FCS or FBS, in front of that team's division. You've just got to go out there and you got to play your best, and you've got to treat them like a very serious threat, and that's what South Dakota State is.
Mike, what are you working on for us that we can check out at CSURams.com the next couple of days?
Well, I think in the last couple hours ago, we put out the offensive line story, like what kind of we covered
earlier.
Talked to a few of true freshmen from last year who actually got some playing time and what that really meant to them and their development and their understanding of what college football is. So that'll come out later on this week. So, yeah
love
it. Look forward to it. And then it's game coverage. I get to actually go back and do some game coverage. It'll be soccer on Thursday, a couple volleyball matches Friday and Saturday. So hopefully we'll be able to see Moby Arena full. Hopefully we'll be able to see Ram Field with a nice perimeter of fans.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Feels like it's taking forever, but we're getting close to it. Mike, appreciate you, man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, man. Mike Brohard of CSURams.com and RamWire. Yeah, the quarterback thing's a blow, and I like that Mike said that because, hey, that's got to be in the back of your minds, right? Toddy's a runner. You had Matt Valisi at the backup quarterback that you thought, okay, well, if Todd gets hurt by running a lot, which could happen when you get a running quarterback, we've got a good backup that's familiar with Adazio. It's familiar with what he does. Well, he goes down. In the back of your mind, do you say, do I talk to Toddy about, hey, we got to get rid of that run-first mentality even more so now? So that's going to be interesting. I mean, I agree, though. You can't change your offense now. You just can't. It's going to be what it is. And you just hope that he can be extremely smart when he is running the football. 48 minutes after the hour, we got to crown a winner for Top Text Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
The Southern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Morning traffic, news, and issues. Mornings with Gale, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
We got a winner for today. I loved Dixon's text. I loved Eastside Chris's text. But I gotta go with the New Jersey listener today. Snooky. Not just because Snooky's from Jersey. And we have listeners all over the world, probably the universe. It was a good text. It was my sentiments exactly about Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. And you know what, Colfax? If there's one person in this world I agree with, it's myself. So if you come at me with a similar take, I'm going to reward it. So great job, Snooky. Very first win for Snooky on the Top Text Tuesday. Yeah, that's great. Tomorrow we will be live and on location in Denver at the Blake Street Tavern. We'll have our topics. Maybe we'll have our quarterback decision figured out. But we'll talk about that. We'll also be catching up with coaches, college coaches, players. It's going to be a blast. It's a blur, too. I mean, it goes by so fast. So looking forward to being down there tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. We've got Pick Central coming up. The Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, at 3 o'clock. And the second to last day of our 13 Days, 13 Teams High School Football Training Camp coverage. So get those days in. If you missed any of those, you can check them out at 1310kfk.com for the podcasts. And then high school football starts on Friday for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.